Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Iconic summer moments deserve an iconic drink. Reach for Mountain Dew, an American original. From its beginnings in the foothills of Tennessee to your biggest summer yet. The refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew is the perfect companion to your American summer adventures. Enjoy the refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew. Tasting great since 48. Look for Mountain Dew in stores near you at MountainDew.com. That's MountainDew.com.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 105. We have Jeff in, obviously, missed the last episode. We have Clemmer in, because we are going to be doing a draft of the best movies from 2005 to 2009.
That's right. Interesting one. Thank you for putting me in this nice chair. It's a great way to treat a guest. Put him Is it what you do with Ray Romano? You put him in a chair like this?
He was in a very small chair.
Yeah.
Like this?
He was in a good chair.
Yeah, I'm not. This is the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
These chairs eat you alive.
I'd rather be eaten alive than like this. It's so uncomfortable. It's wobbly.
It makes you look like you're like Jack, though.
Yeah, you do look large.
Yeah. it's very bizarre.
You're built like Victor Wimbanyana.
That's over there. Horrible.
Wimbanyana.
We didn't design the studio though, so it's not really our fault.
Yeah. Also, you can see the peeling off wallpaper in the back. It's one of the
people
worst.
Are gonna realize it's not real brick.
Yeah, one of the worst design studios ever made.
This is awful.
And we have a mic over there that we can't use because the desk is so loud. Like all the electronics here are so loud. It's incredible stuff. But anyway, we're on episode 105. I forget, Clemmer, I know you watch Barry. Do you watch Succession?
I've only watched the first season. I'm just way behind. Yeah, it's a very good show.
You have a love-hate with Barry.
I'm just disappointed.
It is a love-hate show.
The first two seasons were so great. One of my favorite shows on TV, if not my favorite. And then I feel like the last, it's just gotten dark and kind of weird. And
3 took a nosedive, I think.
And then 4 has been a slog.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough. Only 2 episodes left.
It's weird because 3, I think, is like, it's a really good show, but it's just not Barry. Like, if it was a season of a different television show, I'd be like, this is really good stuff. But it just doesn't feel the same at all as the first two seasons. And then this season, there's parts where you see the glimmer of those first two seasons, but then it goes back to, like, season 3. Like, that's where we're at
now.
It's
just sad. It's not funny. It's not entertaining. I don't know, but the only 2 episodes left, they have not been shown to critics. Mm-hmm. So I have some high hopes, like, we're going to see some major plot developments happen. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm optimistic. Mm-hmm. These next 2 episodes are going to be awesome. Telling myself that.
Anyway, that's Barry. Jeff, you didn't have a chance to talk about Succession. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah,
of the
it was
season.
Very good. The I tweeted last night. The wasabi scene was very.
It's very funny.
I don't want to spoil it for Clemmer.
It's okay. No, feel free. I'm so behind.
Yeah, it was. It was a very good episode.
Clemmer kind of looks like the guy afflicted by the wasabi.
He does. He has
like that actor. Yeah,
that guy looks like every person who works like. The crunch time of an election at a news
like
network.
Nate Silver.
I mean, it was very spot on with how news networks work, and they did a really good job with it. It was really well done. It was fucked up. It was a fucked up episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was where you really remember that they all suck. Yeah. They're all huge pieces of shit. The entire family.
Yeah. I think it was misogynistic. This episode.
Why? Because the Shiv was the big loser?
Dude, the Shiv stands are crumbling online.
Dude, they're
crumbling.
Are insane human beings. Absolutely insane.
It is a weird show to have such, like, Twitter fandoms for shows and movies. I mean, they've been around forever, but it's such a weird show for that to happen because it's like a corporate,
mm-hmm.
it's a corporate, like, news network show.
Dude, the Stan, like Stan Twitter has, like, almost made me hate the show the way they talk about it.
They're awful.
Yeah, I mean, but that, yeah, that's the case for anything. Though
they're like, exactly. Oh, I mean, in headcanon, Roman is gay. I'm like, what? This is just not true. This man was beaten off to Jerry like 3 episodes ago.
You, I mean, if Clemmer doesn't know who Jerry is, you just made it sound like he's more gay.
Jerry is an older
Jerry
woman.
Jerry with a G ends in
yes,
an I.
Yes, yeah.
She's a
Jerry. I know.
Jerry's in like the second episode.
Yes, oh, yeah, true, I'm true, familiar true. With
Might be
Jerry.
The first.
But if he's trying to say, first episode, right? this character is not gay. He jerks off to Jerry. Like, first, he makes it sound way more gay.
The first,
what's the deal with this? Why are you being off to me?
One of the first interactions with Roman and Jerry.
Such a bad Jerry Seinfeld impression.
It's a great Jerry Seinfeld impression. I've met the man. He thanked me after a set once.
No way.
Yeah.
It took me a second to like think.
Put me in a bad chair. You make fun of my lovely impressions. This is a terrible way to treat a guest.
One of the tweets that I sent you guys, actually, Trobons had sent to me, it was one of the stand accounts going, hey, friendly reminder, if you're a straight man, you're not allowed to have an opinion on Shiv Roy or actions. Okay, thank you. And then a reply was, better question is, why are there straight men who know who Shiv Roy is? And the response is like, right, it doesn't sit right with me. Like, straight men that don't know who Shiv Roy is? What are you talking about?
Why do these straight men know this prestige HBO show? That's
yeah,
so
or
weird.
The characters involved. Like, is watching Succession a gay trait?
That's so funny.
It's effeminate. It's so feminine to watch Succession.
But say one of the first interactions with Jerry and Roman was in the second episode when they're in the hospital. And he says, he's trying to yuck it up with Jerry. And they clearly hadn't talked in a long time.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, how is the old ball and chain? He's like, he died.
He died. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
What a great fucking show. Yeah, sad it's almost over. I'm kind of glad it's almost over.
So two episodes of that left as well, right?
Yeah.
Because both Succession and Barry are ending the same night.
It shouldn't have been running at the same times at night, by the way. It annoys the shit out of me.
You know what else has two episodes left?
Don't fucking end.
Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso. Yeah.
Bad show. I stopped watching.
What did he say? 70-minute episode with no Ted Lasso?
I was like, man, this episode feels kind of slow. And then I clicked pause and then I just look at it. And it's 60 minutes left. Like, I was like, what the
fuck? Talk about a show that doesn't need to be that long.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's a show that just truly, it lost its way.
Yeah.
It bought in too much. I've literally said this word for it in the show already. That's a show that bought into its hype too much. Mm-hmm. And needed to just drown out the noise and just do what and just kept doing what it did the first season, because no one had any expectations. It kind of got to be a sweet, nice, charming show, and then it leaned way too heavily into the stuff that people liked, and it became very inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel genuine anymore.
Those like PSA clips are so awkward.
Yeah, it's just weird. Yeah,
like I wrote the bat. They said it's like this really positive show, and that kind of like turned me off. It just seemed like it just didn't seem for me. And then I see it's really kind of spiraled into, like you said, it kind of like this after school special mentality to it.
Yeah,
at least that's what I'm reading in the reviews. I don't know.
That's another show that had a weird stand. Not all these male characters are gay. I want them to fuck on screens type of stands, but like it did have the cult following of Ted Lasso became a weird thing too. Where you ever see somebody talk about a show so much you're not even convinced they watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like do you really do you get Ted Lasso? There's nothing to get about it. But you're like, do you really watch Ted Lasso? Or do you just like to dress up with him at like a party? There's a weird culture around shows like that, and the shows that don't buy into it, and the shows that don't bend to fans or movies, Star Wars, great example, Rise of Skywalker, they typically stay solid. You know, they stay true to form. Ted Lasso, great example of that not being the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised with Bill Lawrence being the showrunner too. Like, he has enough experience where you wouldn't think that he would.
I'm pretty sure he stepped out of that room. Or got a lot more hands off this season to focus on shrinking.
Okay.
Which had a great first season.
And you're a big fan of that. Yeah.
Bill Lawrence was Scrubs, right?
Yep.
Bill Lawrence, Scrubs, Cougar
started,
Town.
Started with Spin City.
Scrubs, and I couldn't speak for Spin City, but Scrubs, they kind of flubbed the ending of pretty bad.
I agree with that.
It was like the last three seasons.
Yeah.
Just pretend that once Dave Franco shows his face.
Dude, was Scrubs
death spiral.
Was Scrubs impacted negatively, though, by the writer's strike? Was that one of the shows that got hit hard?
I can't remember, but they did switch networks, which was very strange.
I might be wrong on that.
There was a moment in time when Zach Braff, I believe, was the highest paid TV actor per episode.
Disgusting.
Which is just like wild to think about.
That's disgusting.
Dude, he had some hype around him. He was like the next great comedic writer. And
Garden State. And
the most fucked scripted show was Heroes, I think.
Yeah.
Heroes got dinged the hardest from
that got hurt.
The writer's strike. Yeah.
Lost.
None of those people did anything really again.
Lost got hurt, but Lost like recovered though, and still at least like I think Lindelof got to do what he wanted to do in the end.
Friday Night Lights is a great example.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights got killed.
That second season is so bad, and that show is brilliant. I love seasons 1, 3, 4, and 5, but 2 is horrible.
You know, a movie got fucked the most famously.
No.
Quantum of Solace.
Oh yeah,
right. Yeah.
That's like that's the poster boy for writer strike movies.
Wasn't like Daniel Craig on set like having to basically write his own lines?
It was like a disaster.
That one's rough.
Yeah, bad movie.
But yeah, I think Scrubs is the one where I always think like that one was one of the worst sitcom endings. Where because they just like what a great show those first bunch of seasons and then just like whoosh, straight
down. Parks and Rec for me is the one.
Last season's really weird. Ugh,
gross. I hate the time jump. This is returning Barry, too. They jumped 8 years in the future. And you're like, why?
Dude, I thought it was a dream sequence.
I'm so disappointed it's not. I'm still kind of hoping it is.
It's really weird.
Yeah. Oh, Joe Biden. Sleepy Joe.
Okay, this episode is brought to you by Dave.com. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, it can be really stressful when unexpected expenses come up. With Dave, you can get your money sooner, so without worrying how much money you have to get throughout, all that money you need to get throughout the week. We've all been there. You get an unexpected medical expense or you get no fender bender. You don't have the money to pay for it immediately. Now Dave can help you get out of a pinch when you really need it. Dave is the banking app that could help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. With Dave, no interest, late fees, or credit check. There's money to fill your tank. Finally get your car repaired, catch up on your bills without having to wait for your next paycheck, and you can tackle the expenses that have been stressing you out. Millions have already downloaded the Dave app to get to the financial relief that they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from the from the future you. Download the Dave app and from the App Store right now and go to dave.com/LCB, dave.com/LCB. Sign up for extra cash account and you get $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member of the FDIC. All right. First up, we have actually a decent amount of news today, which is pretty cool. The first being the new Mission Impossible trailer. I really liked their first trailer a lot because like there's like all you hear is the music, no dialogue really other than Henry Zerny talking in the background. And you see all the set pieces, all that shit. This one, a lot more talking, obviously, was awesome. Just as cool as the first trailer, in my opinion. I really like seeing the new cast members. I'm really excited to see Hayley Atwell, S.I. Morales, like playing the, I guess, sort of heavy for whoever the real bad guy is, which I assume is Henry Zerny, who's returning for the first time since the first movie. And Shea Whigham, who I love from everything HBO. Super pumped for this movie. Big time.
Yeah, it was a good trailer. I actually liked the first trailer more because they had no dialogue.
Exactly.
I don't know why like that really got me. But no, the trailer was awesome. The set pieces look incredible. All the stunts. Oh, I just – there's this – if this is bad, it is as bummed out as I'll be about a movie in – I don't even know.
There's no chance this is
since Gangster Squad. I don't think there's. There is a chance it's bad. I guess there
is. I think the floor is like average because even if the plot doesn't make sense and the dialogue stinks, at the end of the day, the action sequences.
Yeah, there is. I guess there's a chance, but I would be quite stunned if it's not really fucking good. It has a really high bar to clear from Mission Impossible Fallout. But I do like that it's connecting back to the first.
Mm-hmm.
I like that this is going to be a send-off. There's going to be a finality to it that I think helps it a little bit. Where I think if this was kind of like, hey, we're starting another string of three movies, you'd be like, all right, is this guy ever going to hang up the cleats? Like, is he ever – will the world ever stop ending for him? So I do like that they're going to do that. I love the fencing scene that they keep showing in the trailers too. Yeah. I like Kittredge being back is awesome. Even though I did like, oh, fencing's a callback to the first one. It's not. I was thinking of Die Another Day.
Okay.
Fencing scene in Die Another
Day. There is a callback, though. They're on the train. I think that's kind of they're fighting on top of the train. It's crazy with S.I. Morales.
Yeah.
That seemed like a little bit of a nod to the De Palma mission, the first one.
So, I'm beyond excited. I didn't want to see any. The thing is, I don't think there's that much different from this trailer and the last one, except they're just dialogue.
That's it.
It kind of felt like the same shit, so they're not really showing you much, which is awesome. I'm fired up.
I like that one shot of Kittredge where he's wearing the tiny circular glasses and the gas bombs go off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking nuts. The Joker, baby.
Same guy back to score it. The music is amazing in the last one. The way they use the Mission Impossible theme over and over again in different variations, that's why Fallout was so – that was a big reason why Fallout was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think the score's gotten better and better, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's I like the first trailer too, because that score that they like, it just kind of slowly builds, and that's how they did it in Fallout, just slowly builds throughout the movie into like this big climax.
Just to take that iconic song and just reuse it and just change it up the way it sounds, and it was, they hadn't really done that in the previous ones, and that is a big reason why Fallout's just so fucked.
They get like the snare drums rolling in the last one, I think in the actual theme, which was so cool.
The motorcycle sequence in this trailer, when Cruz is on the, and he's like, he goes over this cliff, but even before the cliff, it's like a straightaway among like shrubs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm watching, obviously, we know he's going to be okay, like the actor's okay, but even watching him, like, oh my God, if he wipes out here, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's insane.
And he did that actual stunt like 20 times. Like, it's crazy.
That's the thing. That's what makes this like a level above an action movie for me, is the production value, obviously, but also just, you don't know what Cruz is going to do next. It's such a wild card.
Yeah, and there's stuff that you don't even, like, there's scenes that you know going in that are going to be moments, but there's even stuff within the movie that once you see it with the music and everything, it becomes even better. The running scene in Fallout when he's chasing Walker and he's like running across the top of that building and he just gets faster and faster and faster. He's like superhuman. I just watched the other day on the plane.
And he shattered his ankle doing it in real life.
Right, they kept that in.
Yeah.
I have to look away when he does that because you know he fucking really hurt himself.
You know how Ezra Miller said he watched like wild animals like cheetahs to learn how to run and he looked goofy as fuck? He should have just watched Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise has the perfect running form.
The other day, I actually thought about like when I'm watching him run across the top of that building in Mission Impossible Fallout, you're like, he's got like the textbook movie run. He's really good at it.
The first time you see it, I think, is The Firm. It came out in like 93. I just did it for my The Box series. But like that's the first time you see the extended, I think, the real Tom Cruise run. Yeah. And now it's not a Tom Cruise movie without Tom Cruise run.
Exactly. He's one of the few guys that's just super dedicated to that. And I think part of this with the McCrory run is become like he's made that a point to like let Cruise just go ballistic. Like that first scene in the first McCrory movie was him on the side of the cargo plane, just like holding on. And that was in real life, like him holding on by a wire as the fucking plane took off. Like, I love that they let him just go crazy because it adds to the authenticity of it. And you're like, you feel more invested.
You absolutely do. You feel almost terrified watching it. It's wild. I'm really excited for this one.
Quality of the villain will be very important.
Yes, though, for sure.
Solomon Lane was an awesome villain in the last two movies. Like a very, very good villain in the last two movies.
August Walker, too, to an extent.
He was, right. But that, replacing that is going to be difficult. And that's my one thing. I'm not like concerned about it, but it's, like, all right, that's kind of a wait.
I'm concerned. Esai Morales is like the guy from NYPD Blue. Like,
well, we think of him as like the guy from Ozark. I think most younger people do.
Imagine
he was a great villain in Ozark.
God, imagine if they had fucking Dennis Franz.
I kind of feel like that's what we're doing here a little bit. It's like, all right.
Imagine Dennis Franz.
You got Sipowicz.
and his Hank Hill ass.
Do you remember the Jeremy Renner app?
No.
Oh, you don't?
You would have loved it.
Jeremy Renner had an app for a while. It was like Jeremy Renner's social. And all it was pictures of Jeremy Renner. But you would make accounts, and then parody accounts started happening. And we had parody accounts. Who was yours?
I think I had a Ben Affleck one for a while and a couple other ones.
I Dennis Franz.
Oh, good for you.
And I would comment, but you could boost your comment by buying like
stars. Yeah.
And so we've spent an unbelievable amount of money to boost our comments. And for a while, I would be Dennis Franz, and I would comment on Jeremy Renner's posts. And just be like, hey, remember that one time we shared? My buddy Landon was Bon Jovi. And we got to be like, hey, like.
Your sign up was always great.
From your friend, Dennis Franz. and then in parentheses, NYPD.
Those are so much
fun. I miss the Renner app.
Me too. They got to bring.
I feel like you had a couple accounts.
My favorite one, it wasn't me, but the Casey Anthony one always killed me. She would always, whoever did that account would boost herself right to the top. Be like, great pick, Jeremy. And you'd see Casey Anthony on top of every picture of Jeremy Renner.
Oh my God.
Those are the days.
I hope he's doing well.
Mission Impossible. I mean, he did a fucking 60 minutes as if he got like, he saved someone from a burning building. He ran over by a ski machine that he owned. Like, come on.
He did save his nephew.
He saved his nephew. That was cool. But like, he did like the 60 minutes interview as if he was like on Disney or whatever their version of it. And like, it's like, come on. Like, come on. We know what the deal is here. Anyway, the next trailer was Five Nights at Freddy's.
Man, I can't believe we're even talking about this.
I know. Mike Schmidt.
This goes beyond your era. We've been talking
about the video game.
We've been talking about this movie since like
the movie.
I bet we talked about this in one of our first episodes of this podcast ever.
Yeah, Mike Schmidt, a troubled security guard, starts a nighttime job at Freddy's.
Mike Schmidt?
The Phillies third baseman. Okay. Fazbear's Pizza, a once successful, now generally abandoned family entertainment center, when he discovers that four animatronic mascots, Freddy Fazbear, Bonnie the Bunny, Chica the Chicken, and Foxy the Pirate Fox, move and kill anyone that is there after midnight. It's from Blumhouse. Josh Hutcherson and Matthew Lillard are the two big names. I've never played the game, ever. But I am so excited after watching that trailer.
Watch our coworker play the game. Watch Glenny Balls play the game. I mean, we've talked about this movie in news
years ago.
One of our first episodes, probably 5 years ago. It's been in development hell forever. So the fact that we are actually seeing a trailer now is cool. I mean, it looks cool. They made a movie similar to this, but a significantly more comedic angle.
Willy's Wonderland? Nick Cage.
Yeah, Willy's Wonderland.
I hope it's good. It's terrifying. Like, it's a scary concept. I could see Josh Hutcherson.
Dude, he's great.
I haven't seen him in a while. What's he?
Where has he been?
Yeah.
Peter.
The last thing he was like was music video for like The Middle by DJ Snake.
He did this very funny series on Hulu. I'm a Future Man.
Yeah.
Very funny
show.
We interviewed him for it.
Yeah. We did it in the first two seasons of a very funny set.
Now, who do we interview for Future season? Man?
Huh? Dude, did we interview?
I don't think Hutcherson was in.
I think we were going to interview one of the cast members of it, but then we ended up not doing it. Huh?
Haley Joel Osment.
I think you're right. Yeah, because we definitely interviewed him.
He's good. He was a good SNL host.
Haley Joel?
No.
Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah.
He's very funny. He's got great
very
chops.
Funny.
I would highly recommend, if you have Hulu, watching Future Man. This first season, there's an episode where they're in the future and they go to the James Cameron compound. And like, it's just basically an oral history of James Cameron, like egotistical, crazy shit. Very funny. Very, very funny episode.
All time wardrobe and hair and makeup change when they cut his hair for Catching Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Saved the franchise.
But yeah, trailer looks great. Blumhouse, I feel like they have a very hyper specific lane where they're like, we're going to make horror movies that like, hey, they might be like the same level of like, I don't know, low stumpiness, I would say, of like the really shitty ones, but they're nowhere near as shitty. They're usually at a higher quality level, and I really like that about
there's a
Blumhouse.
Big cult following and fan base this
my it's 9-year-old image. Nephew loves it,
really.
Like, yeah, he thinks it's like he loves horror. Uh-huh. He's been talking about Five Nights at Freddy's for years.
Yes. Animatronics freak me the fuck out.
From what I understand, that game like changed the indie landscape. Like, every game since that came out has in a way tried to emulate it. Like, it was
a huge deal. This is a big one. It seems like people like the trailer. It seems like fans do like it, okay. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know anything.
No, like, Sonic situation.
I wish I knew more about it, honestly.
We should go dressed up as, what was his name? Fozzie Bear?
Fazbear, I think they call it. Fozbear.
Dude, it's going to look like a furry convention opening night.
People who have played the game are probably pissing their pants right now. I'm definitely pronouncing it, like, horribly. But yeah, that's Five Nights at Freddy's. Disney announced that the whole season of Echo is going to drop on November 28th.
That's probably not a good sign. Or it could be.
Yeah.
Or it could be them listening fine. There are certain things that I think would benefit from being dropped all at once.
Yeah.
That I think people would like more if it was dropped together.
Maya Lopez must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meaning of family and community if she ever hopes to move forward. Alakwa Cox, Zach McLarnon, Zahn McLarnon is the one big name I know from this, other than like Daredevil and Kingpin with Vincent D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox. Zahn McLarnon is like a really, really good actor. If you've ever seen Fargo, he's really, really good in season two. He's in a couple other great shows as well, Reservation Dogs included. But yeah, this isn't a show where like it jumps off the page for me for Marvel, but it's... Like, sure, I'm down for any hero I've never heard of becoming huge, because that's Iron Man to me.
I'm more interested in this because it's dropping together.
Yeah.
Like, I will go watch it, like, pretty much right away now, because I can just watch the whole thing. I think Loki, season one, needed to be week to week. I think that was a good show for that. Good suspense. It had a good arc every episode. I think Ms. Marvel was a better show that people gave you credit for, and I think it would have benefited from being dropped all at once.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know if you guys are big Echo fans.
I think you'd have to put a gun to my head for me to watch this. So somehow, some sort of ransom.
We'll also see how much Daredevil's involved.
Yeah.
They're trying to tease it. Whether they're doing that to get people to watch or they're being genuine about it, I don't know.
Him and She-Hulk. Really?
They put him in the fucking trailer.
Forgot about that.
I still think the best release, and Amazon figured this out, is do three. Yeah, drop the first three episodes and then go weekly after that. I think you're right about this, though, all at once. Like, these smaller shows like this, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, they could be dropped all
at once. Your stuff that is successful in this franchise are things that come out and you see the whole thing at the same fucking time it comes out. I know that's called a fucking movie, but like, I don't think it hurts to try that.
HBO has been copying the model too. I've noticed like recently they do like two episodes and then they'll give you the rest of the season week by week. I like two and three episodes. I think that's like the perfect way to do it.
The White House Plumbers did that. I watched it after the first
Is that worth watching?
I think it is. I think if you liked Veep, it's worth watching. There's a lot of Veep showrunners. There's a lot of funny Veep like humor. And I liked the last episode, but it's a little too – I'm a big Watergate guy. Mm. I love Watergate, like docs and stories. I love like
you and that Nixon head to head.
I'm a big Nixon guy.
I've heard that about you. You're not surprised.
I love Nixon.
You're a big deep throat guy.
Yeah.
What a name.
But I mean, I think one of the top five greatest movies of all time is All the President's Men.
Mm.
Which, hey, shout out to White House Plumbers. They got me to rewatch that movie the other day. But I think it's a little too cartoony. If you have All the President's Men here and then the movie Dick with
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. Yeah. It's like White House Plumbers is like a little – it's like at times a little too close to – I don't know what Woody Harrelson is doing as Howard Hunt. Like he's not – he's like doing like an alt-universe Howard Hunt. The voice is so odd. And he's got – I think he's got fake teeth in. It's just – it's a little too cartoony. But there's a lot of funny humor. Like Ike Barinholtz is in it, very funny in it. So I would suggest it if you liked Veep because there's some, but it's nowhere near as funny as
but
Veep.
But it's a comedy first, right?
It's definitely a comedy first.
Okay.
Like for sure. And Thoreau is very good in his role too.
I was trying to pick to decide if I was going to watch that or Class of 09 and I ended up watching Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus instead. Really like Mythic Quest.
I also did watch Silo really is like also it. Very good.
Yeah.
Silo is, heard Lost is a vibes. Very good show. Mm-hmm. I really like Silo. That was a good suggestion. There is a funny thing I know you would like. Liddy famously like is fascinated with Hitler, and they play that up. And Thoreau is very good at playing up like liking Hitler but not being into Hitler, and it's a very funny thing. So I would suggest Plumbers, but it's like not
for everyone.
It's not. I thought it'd be better. It's a little too cartoony.
Yeah. Speaking of Echo, Loki, they say it's going to start releasing October 6th. Very curious to see how they navigate the Jonathan Majors King shit. Other than that, I'm still excited.
This new news item, and this actually I was looking at my phone. Apparently Disney has told like everybody do not mention Jonathan Majors in any promotional material. Mm-hmm. Do not talk about him. Like, especially since now Quantumania is on Disney Plus, it says under no circumstances any article allowed to mention Jonathan Majors or his involvement in the film as Kang.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it seems like they are going to recast him. It's a matter of like how they do it.
I mean, if they get Awuji from Guardians 3, I think it would be incredible. I mean, I think suspension of disbelief would be so easy with him as Kang.
You could play so it off. Simple. You could play it off as he's – yeah, you could play it off that the High Evolutionary is
– yeah.
I could see it. It'd be cool. He was – he's mean and menacing enough in the same way that Kang was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Loki is probably – or I think pretty easily the best – Marvel thing to drop on Disney Plus by a pretty fair margin. So, I mean, it would suck if the involvement of Jonathan Majors lessened the impact of Loki season two, but I mean, I'm still pumped.
Very excited for that. And Hiddleston is just so fucking good in that role.
Yeah. He fucking killed
it. Also, that. Owen Wilson in it just reminds me.
You want to talk about paint?
Paint?
We talked about that trailer when it came out. Do you remember that?
You're like Bob Ross movie or whatever.
Owen Wilson did a Bob Ross movie. It's not about Bob Ross.
Okay.
But he's like Bob Ross guy. It's weird. It's like a mean-spirited, this is supposed to make you think it's Bob Ross. It sucks so much ass. It's so bad.
Owen Wilson's so brilliant, too. Like he co-wrote Royal Tenenbaums.
He picks a lot of bad shit.
It's a horrible movie.
What was that? Salma Hayek.
I was about to say.
Bliss.
Oh, so
zero.
Bad.
I give it a 0 out of 100.
So oh bad.
Bliss is so I would actually suggest somebody watches Bliss. Like if you like watching a lot of movies, good or bad, Bliss I suggest. I can't suggest Paint. Like Paint's not even worth like a joke watch. It's so bland, so stupid, so mean-spirited. It sucks, and not in a funny way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing is Owen Wilson is great in Loki, whatever that's worth. Mobius, Mobius.
I've watched just a continuous streak of bad movies. Hypnotic was fucking bad. Terrible. The Mother was horrible.
Back-to-back JLO, Ben Affleck.
Wait, you got to go see Blackberry.
Blackberry was really
Everybody's
good.
Saying
Blackberry. Yeah, Blackberry apparently is really good. I'm going to try and see Blackberry. I got to see Fast, too.
I'm seeing Sanctuary tomorrow night. Pretty pumped. Q&A afterwards with Margaret Qualley.
How could I guess you're a Margaret Qualley guy? What's your address? That's my question.
I already know that.
Rocks, though. Blackberry rocks, though. It's like the very much reduced Social Network in that it's like here's very dramatized storylines. Here's like the tech end of like what is making this work, but everything's like very digestible. Dialogue nowhere near in the same stratosphere, but just in structure.
How is Glenn?
He's awesome. He's playing like kind of like a variation of Dennis from It's Always Sunny.
Okay.
But he's really, really good. And this is actually like the first role I think I really liked. Fucking what's his name? Jay Baruchel. Jay Baruchel.
Hey, I'm Jay Baruchel.
I mean, that's a perfect impression. The thing that sucks for Jay Baruchel is that I think I like him less because he's never been the funniest person in any movie he's been in. He's always been attached to movies with like iconic comedy actors, and he's like the fifth most funny person in them because he's just buddies with Seth Rogen, which sucks for him, I guess. Although probably not really because
I'd say that's probably pretty awesome.
Yeah. Although The Goon, I'll stand up for his performance in The Goon.
This is the end, but he just kind of plays his douchey self.
So yeah, he plays like the straight man.
Douchey version of himself.
Yeah, he's the straight man while everyone else is having a fun time.
He's good and Undeclared on Fox.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just not a Jay Baruchel guy. The creator.
He's skinny. You got to like, I got to. I got to support the skinny guy.
Well, how do you feel about Jared Fogle? He got skinny.
I do not like Jared Fogle. Jared Fogle is a fake skinny, A. And B,
yeah, very fake skinny.
B,
I mean, I'm like
troubling
like,
past. So, Jared Fogle, no,
troubling past.
Troubling past.
I think it's worse than troubling.
Very troubling. How's that? No, he's not real skinny. Jay Baruchel was a really skinny guy.
Like, no, you got to see. I've seen pictures of Jared Fogle in prison. Now he's in rough shape.
Oh really? Oh yeah. No.
Well,
I guess.
Yeah. Very, very, very skinny. Mm. Okay, the creator trailer. Described as a post-apocalyptic thriller involving a future impacted by a war between humans and AI. Gareth Edwards' first movie since Rogue One. John David Washington.
That seems impossible.
I know. It's crazy, which was like 2016.
I was going to say like 7 years ago?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Gemma Chan, Ken Watanabe, Allison Janney, Ralph Ineson. Greg Fraser's the cinematographer on this, who's obviously been fucking crushing it lately. This trailer looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I think I'm super, super in on the concept. The visuals look incredible, like on par with Rogue One, which is what I think was my favorite part of Rogue One, which is the visual element of all the sci-fi shit. Very, very into it. Apparently at CinemaCon, people went like nuts for it when they aired some shit from it. So super in on the creator. Very in on it.
Yeah, it looks very good. I like the cast. I like everyone involved. Yeah, Fraser's been great. Did Dune.
Yep.
This was another one.
Did the Batman. Did a bunch of other shit, yeah.
Is this just setting money on fire?
Yeah.
This movie? Is it just like lighting money on fire? I'm not saying it looks fine. It's fine. Is people actually going to go see this?
Yeah.
I don't think people will. I think there is a very real chance that it does lose money. Because it's not attached. It's just like we've seen it time and time again now where original IP just doesn't hit with audiences.
Yeah, and then they bitch about people doing remakes.
Yeah. Like I could see this not making its money. Because it very clearly it looks like it has a massive budget.
Right. That's my takeaway too. I'm like, I don't know if people are gonna rush us to go see Allison Janney shoot an alien. Like what are we doing here a little bit? Like if I'm in the studio, I'm like, I don't know if this is the best use of my money.
I think it looks awesome, but yeah, no, I think the concerns about whether or not it's profitable are legitimate.
That's legit, yeah. The more I'm thinking about it. I was like, oh, it'll obviously make money. It's fucking big sci-fi epic. Why wouldn't it? But then also you look at like Blade Runner 2049 or
and that had a bigger cast. I don't see a reason for someone who's just kind of into sci-fi a little bit to go rush out and see this. Unless there's more, like it looked interesting. I was just shocked when it said like, oh, you know, only in theaters at the end. I was like, oh shit, this is going to lose a lot of money.
I think I'm into it because like I love when like really creative sci-fi minds get a chance to do some crazy shit like that. Like just watching the trailer, I was like, this is like District 9 combined with the good parts of Chappie combined with like iRobot, Terminator, all this shit going back and forth in the past. Like, I like
their initial marketing. You can tell they're going to lean heavy onto the Star Wars crowd.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
The initial poster doesn't look like it has anything to do with
it looks legit like
with the movie, but the poster, it looks like a Star Wars poster.
Yeah.
They very clearly in the they say from the creator of Rogue One, like yeah. it's they're leaning heavy into
which
it.
Which is smart.
Yeah, it is. Tied to some franchise.
Exactly. But yeah, that's the creator.
Is this a make or break moment for John David Washington? Because I still have not decided if he can act or not.
I think he's really good in the right roles. Like in the wrong ones, he's not great. But yeah. like, I feel like there's never a movie I watched and I'm like, he's the worst part of this movie. Or like
he's the protagonist.
like Tenet, I think he's good in Tenet.
He's good in spots. And then other spots, I'm like, every time he was on screen with Robert Pattinson, I was like, I wish this was Robert Pattinson's movie instead.
I can see that. I don't know. I like John David Washington, but also like even in that black and white fucking Sam Levinson movie, I think he was really good.
Yeah, that movie was
movie itself was
the twisted mind of Sam Levinson.
Wacky. It was a COVID movie though. Right?
He was good. I think
the best COVID movie was the Chiwetel Ejiofor and Anne Hathaway one.
Is it the heist?
Was
one?
Called? No. It was,
yeah, there was a heist.
But what was the name?
It was called like apartment? COVID or something.
Yeah, it was called like Quarantine.
Yeah, it was called like Quarantine shit. Or like, something. Fucking that, terrible. That one. On HBO Max, I think.
Real bad. Damn. And then the last thing, we had a trailer that dropped this morning. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Members of the Osage tribe in the United States are murdered under mysterious circumstances in the 20s, sparking a major FBI investigation involving J. Edgar Hoover. From what I could tell, not a lot of J. Edgar Hoover, which is good for Scorsese. Stay away far away as possible.
And Leo.
Yeah. Obviously, Scorsese directing Leo, Robert De Niro, Lily Gladstone, Jesse Plemons, John Lithgow, Brendan Fraser. I think this is like probably any reasonable person's like it's near the top of their most anticipated list by far. It's been in the works forever. I was looking at it and I blogged about Leo getting casted in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Like it got hit bad by COVID. But everyone I know that read the book that this is based on, nonfiction book, they say it's like the greatest book that they've ever read. They're like, oh, it's so good. It's great. And then the fact that combine that with Scorsese, you look at like his visuals combined with the Old West. I'm into it, dude.
I read the book. It is a good book. Best book ever. Let's calm down. It's from a nonfiction? Fascinating story where it's like, how the fuck do people not know about this?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, the book's good, but yeah, no, not greatest book of all time. I'm interested to see what Scorsese does to kind of lighten it up. You know, make it can like it's very slow. Let me just say, like, what happened to them
is
like
3.5 hours.
There's no single moment or no single like action
climax.
Yeah. So I wonder how he's going to fit this into a movie.
I don't know, but seeing him just like Leo, just looking at it, like, hey, can you spot the wolf in this picture? Like,
he's doing his accent.
I'm into it, man. I'm really into
it. Looks good. I mean, I don't know. It's Marty. So I hope, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where what do you say? You're gonna be like, I don't know about this one. Like, it's Martin's great. You just assume it's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'm so excited. I'm gonna like have trouble sleeping the night before this comes out. Like, what
was
his
last project? Was the last project The Irishman?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and I liked it more than I liked it more than most people did. I think The Irishman will age pretty well. I think people got a little too dumpy about the facial, the de-aging, and the length. And
yeah,
I think The Irishman is awesome. It's a
great movie. That didn't bother me. I thought it was just boring. Be honest.
The scene, it wasn't Scream, brother. I mean,
dude, Scream is all right. Scream. I mean, Scream is an all-time great.
Melissa Barrera more than anyone.
He really,
it was unbelievable. You said he'd cast her as Wonder Woman.
I didn't say that, but Chris did, and I listen. Not a bad pick.
Nah, I like Scream. I'm sorry, I like Scream.
I just don't get the Melissa Barrera hype. Just still do not understand it.
Open your eyes.
I tell that to her, dude. She can't act with her eyes at all. But yeah, that's Killers of Flower Moon. I think that's definitely easily all top of our most anticipated. So
yes.
Super pumped for that.
I haven't been this excited for a movie in like years, I think. I don't get excited for Echo or the fuck you guys talked about earlier.
Nobody in here said they're excited for the streaming series Echo.
You guys seem like you were a little excited for it. Like,
no, I said I like that they're dropping it all at once.
I'd like if it never existed.
Mm-hmm.
Echo, like, that was your defense, Echo?
I don't know.
I'm excited for this too, but I'm just surprised.
I feel like the same level of excited for Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, what are we doing?
No, it was kind all of right. We're excited for this too. I just said the expectation with the Martin Scorsese movies, it's going to be great.
Yes.
I think there's
it was a genuine question. Like, what other movies have you been excited for the last 5 years?
I was excited for Air, and that lived up to what I was excited for. I was amped up for that
one. Wow, that one?
I liked it a lot.
What else?
I borderline loved it.
I'm not even razzing you. I'm just curious.
I was really excited for the Batman. That did not live up. I'm a big Batman fan. Ooh. I thought it was fine. I didn't not think it was the greatest Batman, thing yeah. of all yeah,
that's,
time.
That's fair. I like the Batman a lot, but I not also understand. I get that.
I am really excited for the Flash. Mm-hmm. Like when that comes out, that's another one I'm really excited for. It goes back to the Michael Keaton Batman stuff. I'm trying to think what else came out last year that I was really amped up for that didn't live up to the hype. I feel like the Oscar movies last year were not particularly great. Belfast is one that I was excited for that I loved. So that one like exceeded expectations. I'm trying to think of like the disappointing like experience too. I've had. But
I think you're a tough person though, like, and this is actually a good idea for a draft, would be like what movies you would sacrifice so the movies you would want to see would come out like sooner. Like how many movies you would like be like, hey, I'm going to dump The Flash so that I can watch Killers of the Flower Moon earlier or something like that. Like if you could sacrifice these to see it earlier, I think let's work that out later.
Dude, I mean, two of the ones this year are up there for me probably the last 20 years.
Hmm.
Which are?
Like me as actually Dune and the new Mission Impossible.
All right.
Though I will say Fallout was up there. Though Fallout was a shorter run of being excited because I liked the other two Mission Impossible movies before that. But it wasn't until the trailer came out where you're like, yo, this could be fucking crazy.
And now
like our anticipation for this new Mission Impossible has been since the last one literally ended. Since we walked out of the theater.
I was dressed up at Henry Cavill. In the theater for Mission Impossible.
And that was 5 years, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
2017, I think.
No, yeah. We were working here already.
So 2018.
So it was 18 or 19.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's as long as anticipation. Because I guess you could say Endgame and Infinity War, but that's kind of different because that is a singular.
Endgame was insane. Endgame was insane because that was like Infinity War ended on such a cliffhanger.
Yeah, waiting a whole year. I mean, which I get, what's like, I guess let's hope that's the same thing with this Mission Impossible.
Exactly.
Hope it ends and you're like, holy shit. I wish I had been more excited for Top Gun too.
Me too.
Because I was amped, but like I wish I'd have been like fired up
for the element of like reasonable like distrust, right? Where it's like everyone's like, oh, Top Gun, first Top Gun, greatest movie ever. It's like, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not. I think, Maverick was so much better than the original.
Yeah.
Maverick was so much better.
Yeah, remarkably much better movie.
So I went into Maverick a little bit like, we'll see what we got here. I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Where, because the Top Gun, I think, is so overrated, the original.
Dude, it's one of those things where it's a cultural moment. Yeah, it's like people are acting like it's the great. It's not. Top Gun's like a patriotic, like, kind of like propaganda, a little bit like cultural thing. And it's like, it's not actually a great movie. So
Force Awakens, I would say, is probably the most.
Yeah, that's true.
Anticipated of my life.
Of your life? Yeah.
Probably is.
That was awesome.
That first trailer was so unbelievable.
So good.
First of all, the fake Bob Iger go shoot a couple random things for this teaser on Black Friday teaser that came out a year and a month before the movie, where it was like that Kylo Ren scene where he ignites his lightsaber was in the movie. It was like shot for the trailer. Yeah. That was awesome. And then the actual trailer of with like Han and like Reese says like it's true, all true. All
that scene is so good.
That was trailer. Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. That'll be kind of hard to top for I think most people.
That was incredible.
I actually think for me it might have been the Batman my most anticipated.
That trailer was sick. That was that really
because remember it came out before COVID at their first DC fandom.
Yeah,
and that trailer came out of nowhere.
It was just him beating the fuck out of that guy.
Yeah, and they had the
Injustice, right?
Yeah, I'm Vengeance.
Honestly, Dark Knight's first trailer was so fucking good.
So good. Yeah. That's on my
that one too. List. Like I remember walking into that theater very. Like, not even like, all right, Begins was cool. Let's see how this is. Like, you're like, and you had heard that Ledger was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then obviously Hangover Part 2. So,
mm-hmm. Of course. Yes. That's easily on.
I do remember sitting down for Hangover Part 2 being like, yo, this first one was funny.
No, come on. Really? You thought the Hangover Part 2 was good?
Hangover Part 2 made an unbelievable amount of money.
$1 billion. Oh, it did. Yeah. But I don't remember being excited for it.
Heat might be my number.
Me and all the homies sitting. Heat?
I don't think I've ever seen
it. When that, the hype around Heat, I can't explain enough how big it was. Because you had Pacino and De Niro in it together. Yeah. And the people have been waiting for it forever.
I believe that. Like, okay.
The man was already established that is very good.
All you heard about for 6 months was this movie. Like Entertainment Weekly and all these magazines premiere. They all talk about it. So I remember going to see Heat, and I actually didn't like it as much as I should have.
Don't spoil it. I'm watching it this weekend.
I've never seen it. The expectations were just
going
sky
to
high.
See Empire Strikes Back. Probably the one that I wish I could have lived. I wish I could have been alive to go see Empire.
I saw Return of the Jedi in theaters, not Empire. Though.
See, that's pretty awesome. That maybe that too. The first one, being alive for the chaos of the first one, but in terms of anticipation, you didn't know what to expect with the first Star Wars. The wait for that and like what's gonna happen next.
I was so amped up for Phantom Menace.
Oh man.
Because think about it, like you're like we've been waiting for so long, and
that was another one good trailer.
And I, also, I remember
the poster, the first poster. Dude.
I remember calling
the Duel of the Fates song. You're like, oh shit,
That's an all time trailer. I remember calling my grandmother how much I loved the movie, and I said this one character he had a funny moment where he stuck his tongue out and picked up a fruit at the table.
Grandma, you see Jar Jar?
I went, that's Halloween. I went as Boss Nass that year.
Boss Nass? Oh, that would be cool if you did. Wow. I think be so niche. Speaking in a Jamaican accent all day. Mm-hmm. Yep. like the fucking cinnamon thing, apple thing. Okay.
What a stupid fucking table this is.
Don't even get me started with this shit, dude. Don't get me fucking started with this stupid studio. Table. All right, before we get into our draft.
These studios look like they could be like, if we walked out, we could be in an IKEA.
Yeah.
The best part, if you're watching, the best fucking part of this is that they redesigned the studio and they didn't think about
there's so much wrong.
The desk is still in the fucking way.
Dude, it's like 1/8 of our entire shot.
It takes up so much.
The wall is peeling.
Yeah, the wall is peeling. The wires, shit in the shot. Like, dude, whatever. Before we get into the...
Who did make me sit in? Fucking thing.
Oh, calm down.
You don't need that much cushion.
It chair sucks. Calm down. You didn't sit in this motherfucker, did you?
No, hell no. I'm in the Star Trek Commander's
seat. No, it was the last one in the room. This was the only chair left. Everybody's like, oh, calm down. Yeah.
Before we get into our draft, let's hear from Roan. Roan Apparel, Inc. Men's Closet have been due for a radical reinvention, and Roan has stepped up to the challenge. Their commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, flexible set of products known to man, and here's why. They help you get ready for any occasion with this collection that offers the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, and polos. You never have to worry about what to wear when you have the Roan commuter collection, because that is a product for every occasion. Their comfortable four-way stretch fabric breathes very comfortably, which breathing is great. Like these shorts, I'm lucky enough they are breathable, but there are some where it's just like everything collects. It's like a fucking, what do you call it? Like a humidifier? Almost. Yep. It's bad down.
It's important this summer.
Very important. Beyond important.
Those clothes breathing.
Exactly. Super important. But yeah, they have the breathability and the flexibility that leaves you free to enjoy what life throws your way, from your commute to 18 holes of golf, anything you need. Well, they know that mobility is everything, which is also super important with shorts. I hate when shorts like restrict your movement. It fucking sucks. It's important that people feel confident without the hassle. With the wrinkle release technology, the wrinkles disappear as you stretch and wear the products. And it's easy to look and feel your best when you're wearing Roan. Plus, with Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you'll be smelling fresh and clean all day long. Also very important. And on top of that, Roan is 100% machine washable, so you can dish any dry cleaner altogether, which is great because that's also super expensive here. The commuter collection, you can get you through any workday and straight to whatever comes next. Upgrade your closet with Roan and use promo code LIGHTS to save 20% off at roan.com/lights. That's RHONE.com/lights. It's time to find your corner office comfort. They sent us a little something too. They sent us a sneak peek of season 2 of Loki.
No way.
So let's cue that up.
Next season on Loki, our titular hero and Mobius are in for more than they bargained for.
What are we doing here, Mobius?
Wow. There's one last variance that the TVA needs to fix. And that's the world of LCB. 2017, New York City.
Okay, for my next pick in the Disney Pixar draft... Wait a second. I'm about to say Iron Giant, but that's not even a Disney movie. Thank God I caught myself. Sorry, my next pick is...
2017, Rats Crossing, Kentucky.
You know, instead of becoming, like, a moderator for the Reddit of an independent podcast, maybe I should do literally anything else with my time.
2019, New York City.
Thank God I made it to the Apple Store to get my iPod Touch serviced. Now to walk down this extremely simple staircase. Whoop, almost fell down. Thank God I caught myself.
2020, Parts Unknown.
Maybe I shouldn't heat up a Fig Newton in my car.
2023, Michigan.
Perhaps I should actually watch the shows and movies. Who the devil is responsible for all these alterations?
It's that guy right there that's draped in golden chains and surrounded by hot fitness influencers wearing tacky two-piece suits.
What is his name? And why is he carrying so many discontinued energy drinks?
His name is Bang. Bang the Conqueror.
Loki, Season 2.
This parody is brought to you by Rowan Apparel.
All right, yeah, no, I think that's basically what we're looking for right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. No.
Very pumped. I think you guys are going to like it. Okay, let's do our draft. I randomized our draft order ahead of time. Again, we're doing movies from 2005 to 2009. It's Clemmer, then myself, then Jeff, then Gooch. Clemmer, first overall pick. I'm very surprised. I'm just so interested to see where you go with this.
Yeah, I'm going to go with something I think a lot of people would probably have as an honorable one. This isn't going to blow anyone's mind. We even talked about it earlier, Dark Knight. I mean, the opening sequence, I was lucky enough to see it in IMAX. It was just incredible with the bank heist. And then Ledger's performance. Dark Knight's been talked to death, but it really is a stunning movie. It's aged remarkably well. If you go back and watch it now, it's still exciting. It's still awesome. Those Nolan Batman movies are going to live on for many, many, many years. They're really good, and they're still really good. I know the third one some people don't love, and that's fine, but Dark Knight is just an exceptional. Mm-hmm. It's the best superhero movie ever. It's one of the best movies ever.
Something very funny, and I know I've talked to you guys about this, but the new Fast X movie is structurally the same thing as the Dark Knight. It is literally Jason Momoa playing
the Joker. I don't believe you.
Vin Diesel is Batman. I swear to God, you will watch it and you will say,
kind of believe that based on the trailer.
You will watch Jason Momoa and you'll be like, that's the Joker. And you'll watch Vin Diesel and be like, that's Batman.
Based
like,
on the clip they released of him like trying to blow up the Vatican or whatever.
Yeah. You'll see. It's exactly that. And every act that the Joker does in The Dark Knight, basically Momoa forces Vin Diesel to do this.
You want
to
know how I got this hair?
Basically, there's kind of something like that.
Oh my God.
I think Dark Knight is a great.
I saw a really interesting, I guess you'd call it a Twitter thread, the other day about like Christopher Nolan's like next movie, Oppenheimer, may in a way be like a self-reflection of what he did to the superhero genre. Because like, obviously Oppenheimer builds the atomic bomb, world changes, war changes forever. What he did with The Dark Knight since then has, in a way, I mean, it ruined DC Studios post. Because ever since then, they tried to capture that high, capture that vibe, and clearly was not the right move. Yeah. Like, and so, yeah, basically the thread's theory was like, yeah, no, he made this incredible thing, like one of the best ever. But the reaction to that in the movie world has been like kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
set the bar too high.
It's a fair point.
It is kind of funny though, and I always fact check because I always like it is kind of funny though that Iron Man did come out the same year as Dark Knight.
Yes,
and it is the same exact. It's less dramatic. Mm-hmm. Like there's a more dramatic like we are focusing on the story element. This can win an Oscar type thing with, but Iron Man is such a departure from all others as well. Mm-hmm. It is kind of crazy they came out the same year. I think if you ask the average moviegoer, they may say, oh, it probably came out after, probably emulated a Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Iron Man's such a great movie, too. I mean, yeah. Dark Knight is, I think, substantially better, but
correct.
I mean, to get two of the best superhero movies ever to come out in the same year, that's something.
And, like, genre starting for MCU, or, like, universe starting, multi-billion-dollar franchise starting for MCU, and then DC just doing the opposite way, basically. Okay, so Dark Knight, first off the board. I'll go with No Country for Old Men, my number one movie of all time. I mean, I got to take it. No Country, I think, beyond being the best, what do you call it, new Western movie, or what do they call it? There's a term that I always forget. But new wave Western movie of all time. It's got some of the, what the fuck? Who's moving the cameras? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Don't move the cameras, control room. But yeah, so I think No Country for Old Men, one of the greatest casts, I think, assembled, like perfectly cast all the way down the line. Anton Chigurh, one of the great villains of the last 20 years, perfectly cast, every single line just perfectly crafted by the Coen brothers. And I love even like the side roles, like with Woody Harrelson and what's his name? Stephen Root, really good in it. Like all these tinier roles, awesome. Josh Brolin, basically kind of like the restart of his career. more or less, because he was in a lot of stinkers before that. And it's one of my favorite. It is like my number one movie of all time for a reason. I could watch that any day of the week and still enjoy it. Tommy Lee Jones, I think, one of his best performances as well by far. So No Country off the board.
Yeah, that's my number three on my list, Dark Knight 4. So I'll go with my number one, 9 out of 100. I'm going to go with Marty. I'm going to go with The Departed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not his best movie, which is kind of crazy to say. I gave it a 9 out of 100. I would have Goodfellas above there. But I do think The Departed is a movie that hits in every level and every scene. Like, it just never misses. I think it's one of the funniest movies of that decade too.
Super funny, yeah.
All the characters work so fucking well, beyond quotable. So many threads that weave together perfectly at the end. Like, it's such a satisfying ending to that movie in every way, shape, and form.
Including
maybe
the rat.
Not the rat.
The rat.
The rat is not great.
But the rat is almost good now because we get to joke about it so much. Like,
you guys
didn't like the rat?
I like the rat. I liked it the first time I saw it.
I rolled my eyes in the theaters when I saw it. But it's a great movie. I think Departed's kind of underrated now. People almost kind of shit on it now. It's like, no, like, watch Departed. It's really fucking good.
Mm. There's so many good roles, so many good characters. It's perfectly casted.
Mm-hmm.
It's every role top to bottom is perfectly casted.
How about Nicholson? That's one I gotta throw the flag on that one.
You don't like that?
I don't.
I like him going nuts on that.
I don't.
I think that's great. I think it's. I think it's.
And I love Nicholson.
So well.
I love Scorsese. I love The Departed. I just think sometimes I'm like, and some of the accents are a little like.
I'm a Damon guy.
Damon and DiCaprio are so good. Damon's so good in that movie.
It's Alec probably Baldwin my favorite really good, Mark Wahlberg role.
Oh,
I was
absolutely.
About to say, it's perfectly used Wahlberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
The phone scene is my favorite scene in that movie.
Super, super good.
I'm the guy who does the judge music. You must be the other guy. Like that, The Departed, 99 of 100 for me. That is my number one.
My favorite is when he's with the therapist and he's like doing the hand. And he's like, every fucking day. Oh, Leo's so good.
Vera Farmiga, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always forget she's in it. Which is weird. Gucci of back to back.
All right. First up, I'm going to go Superbad, which I think
tough. I think you would. I thought you were too young for that.
No. Are you kidding me? I was in like sixth grade. Perfect time. I mean, I think it is for our generation, it is our Caddyshack. It is our like generation defining comedy. So
it's
like
top
endlessly
three comedy ever made. I think.
Mm-hmm. Endlessly quotable. I mean, just perfect. Judd Apatow at his best. There's so many great cameos and just side characters. Like, I would have loved to even just spend two more hours with Bill Hader and Seth Rogen just riding around. I mean,
their outtakes are so funny on Superbad.
Every line, I mean, every 30 seconds to a minute, you're laughing out loud. Like, not just like chuckling or like you are laughing. That movie fucking kills me to this day. Any thoughts, guys?
No, I think it's a super good
pick.
It's fantastic.
It's basically 1A, 1B with me for Caddyshack for my favorite comedies ever. It's like best comedies ever made to me.
Yeah.
I think those two, I go back and forth on which I find is funnier.
Yeah.
Superbad is just so – again, that's a movie perfectly casted. Every role in the movie is hilarious.
Yeah, dude, Joe Latruglia.
Jolo is so
– You look like my – what does he say? You look like my friend.
Yes. Oh, man. Dude, it's so fucking good.
You look like his brother.
Yeah.
And then that's how you have to fucking sing at the party later.
Yeah.
What the fuck's his name?
Fuck.
He looked when they're interviewing the cashier lady at the same time. She's like, they look like you, Jewish.
You totally look like Jimmy.
Yeah.
I have so many comedies.
Jimmy?
Oh my God.
I have so many comedies on my top 20 list here. If you asked me to do the same list from like 2011 or 2010 to 2014, I would have no comedies.
No, right.
There's comedies left died off with this decade.
Mm-hmm. They did. The best, there's one or two trickle into like 2010, 2011, but like not
You're
really.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is, it's a 98 of 100 for me. It's one
it's
of the
fantastic.
Movies. Really good movie.
Yeah, that the interrogation scene is, there was another quote. You guys on MySpace?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Jolo, but also Joe Latruglio is a constant in a lot of those movies on your list, too. He's in so many of these movies.
Gucci, your next pick.
I'll follow that back up with Inglorious Bastards.
Oh, fuck, man.
I can't let that fall.
Come on. Unreal, you thought that was going to get past
me. Yeah, what
that's fair here. Point.
That's not falling. I'm surprised it even made it out of the first.
I was hoping I'd get one of those, but I was like, I think he's going to pick probably both of these.
Yeah, that was my number two. It's top one, top two. Maybe top three Tarantino for me. Might be my third Tarantino. But still, regardless, I think it is what he thinks is his masterpiece. Very clearly, that closing sequence, just an absolute wink and a nod to the camera. Just fantastic. I think Hans Landa is one of the all-time great villains. Just immediate from the opening scene, like you're like, holy shit, this guy is... It's like the Joker. It's like Heath Ledger's Joker, where you're like, this guy is insane, but at the same time, he is in complete control of the situation. Brad Pitt, just fantastic, comedically.
Dude, so good.
So funny. Every time he tries to do that Italian accent, kills me.
Gourami.
Diane Kruger, fantastic. Michael Fassbender, that scene in the bar, just great.
That whole sequence, the bar scene, is one of the scenes.
I mean, it has the best opening of any movie ever.
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes, there's nothing tops. Nothing.
That and The Dark Knight are probably like...
That's just insane that these movies just came out within like 3 years of each other.
I know.
It's insane. Yeah, that's Bastards is pretty tough to top.
Yeah, I have a poster of it. Over on my desk.
It is my number one Tarantino movie too.
Number one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, Pulp Fiction. I like Jackie Brown more. I like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood more.
All good.
I mean, they're all good. I mean, we're arguing Joe DiMaggio and Willie Mays once here. Like,
is,
I mean,
Once is close to me. Once I also think is a fucking masterpiece.
Once I think is my number one, but if I had to pick my favorite, it's probably Kill Bill.
Once will age really well too. I think Once was not exactly what people expected from him. And I think people, they didn't shit on it. I mean, it got praise.
Yeah.
But I don't think it got as much love that it probably deserves. But Inglourious Basterds, I just think.
That might be the movie I was most excited about seeing, honestly.
Once I was very excited for Once.
Yeah.
Jeff, your pick.
Tough, because now it kind of all, it muddies up. All very good movies.
It really does.
But I'll go a little more blockbustery and mainstream. I'll go Casino Royale. I think Casino Royale changed. It changed Bond. Forever. I think Casino Royale is one of the best action movies. I'll talk about a great opening sequence. That's another one of the probably one of the best opening sequences in the last 20, 30 years. The parkour.
Parkour.
Yeah, just crazy thing about it. It's like if someone watched that, like, oh, parkour. But like, and then it fit perfect for that time period. Casino Royale is one of the best action movies ever made. Honestly, I think it's the best Bond movie ever made. It's so fucking good.
You like that better than Skyfall?
I do.
Okay,
I think
I don't think it's that crazy, but
yeah,
I'm surprised.
Anything rated a 95 or above for me is basically perfect. At that point, it's just splitting hairs. Like it basically goes 90 through 94, and then it's just 100. And I think it's a near flawless movie. Poker scene so fucking good. Great villain. She's such a good villain. What's his face? Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah,
nice little Jeffrey.
Felix, what the fuck is his last name? What's Felix's last name in the James Bond universe? Garter or some shit, I forget. She's been on black today, Bond.
James. so Casino Royale for me is up there. Even though I think the Vesper storyline gets a little annoying, like in the following movies, but like I do think Casino Royale is unbelievable. It's a bummer that Solace was so bad.
I've mentioned this before, but like movie critics will be very buttoned up, but until they see Eva Green, and then they just come their pants. They in writing, they'll be like, Eva Green, that busty, beautiful woman. Like, they are, I don't know what it is.
Felix Leiter. I don't know why I didn't think it was Leiter.
Yeah.
Maybe because of what Leiter on the Astros. I was like, maybe I'm just looking at
Al Leiter, a pitcher for the Mets.
Who's his kid?
Jack Leiter, he's a minor league of the Rangers.
Oh, the Rangers. Texas team close. I don't know why I was like, it's like, am I just making that up because I just read about him yesterday?
Yeah.
But no, it's Felix Leiter.
Yeah. I'll follow Jeff's strategy and I'll draft Iron Man. I know I need a blockbuster. You thought you were gonna get Iron Man and Dark Knight back to back. That would have been really tough.
No, I didn't, but I was hoping maybe the third or fourth round, but there's no way it's gonna last that long.
I'll take it just because like it's not necessarily better than I think it isn't better than a lot of the stuff I have rated above it. But at the same time, like Iron Man is so culturally significant in so many different ways. Like beyond it jump starting again this multi-billion dollar franchise, basically in basically being the genesis of all that and being like what superheroes can be in the movie medium, because so many times before that it's been trash, been garbage. So for Iron Man to do that, to resurrect the career of Robert Downey Jr. basically, and also kind of take off for Favreau.
Yeah.
To being what Favreau is now, which is like one of the most sought after dudes in Hollywood, is awesome. And I think there's just so many great things about Iron Man. The fact that it's like an intimate, smaller scale compared to everything else you watch in the MCU now. I do like, and we talked about this earlier, the Ironmonger character. Mm-hmm. Figures really well played. And all the side guys, like all the tiny stuff that happens in Iron Man is really cool. The Jericho scene, like all that shit.
It's a genre defining performance too from RDJ. It's
exactly.
Like, it's literally became an iconic, like he's up there with fucking any role where you become up there with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Like in terms of franchise and fictional characters, like that's pretty crazy.
And I think he's like 1A, 1B with like Hugh Jackman Wolverine, where it's like, I can't imagine anyone else taking this role. Like there's no other face I can imagine on that character.
It was nice watching Iron Man. I rewatched it about a year or so ago, and it's not a Marvel movie that's focused on the next story. It's actually like interested in just telling this story, and it's kind of almost sad. Like, this is what Marvel movies could be. They're really, this is really entertaining, a really good story.
Contained.
And then instead, it became, you know, Marvel just becomes like what's next as opposed to what's now, and that's too bad. But Iron Man's fantastic.
Yeah, great movie. Clemmer, you have back to back.
Oh wow. Okay, so I'm gonna go with the comedy off the board. This is not. Not the biggest comedy of all time, for sure, but Role Models.
Wow, I love Role Models.
Oh, you dug a little. I didn't even put it on here because I was like, I feel like I'm going to get other ones. I love Role Models.
I mean, such a good movie. It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh more than any other movie.
Take me down to the streets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's fantastic. And the scene in the coffee shop with Paul Rudd and the Venti, it might not be a funnier scene for me. Superbad is so good, and I appreciate it, but like, I laugh harder when I watch Role Models. But I mean, we're talking, once again, we're arguing Willie Mays and Joe DiMaggio. Like, they're both great, great comedies.
Severely underappreciated comedy, in my opinion. Like, I agree. You Ben Affleck. Like, there's so many great lines in that movie. Christopher's Plus is so
I funny. Probably grabbed it a little too early, but I had to get it.
That's the fake Wings song is very funny.
That's the Wings,
that
man.
The fact they recorded it and put it in the title too.
Yeah, right.
Jane Lynch is so fantastic. Good. You know what I used to have for breakfast? Cocaine.
And she's sitting there in the thing, in the what do you call it, the deli or whatever with the hot dog. She's like, yeah, look at this. And just pushing it out of the hot dog.
But she's like, isn't it, Dr. Bullshit and Mr. Fuller?
Yeah.
He's like, which one of us has the PhD?
Yeah.
You can bullshit a bullshitter. Cynical Paul Rudd role, too.
Also, what's his name? Like, Ken Jeong, very funny in that. Like, as the main bad guy for the LARPing.
Oh, yeah.
Very, and that's an even funnier Joe Latruglio.
Yes, dude, Joe Latruglio.
Rub-a-dub-dub. That's really, really stupid one-liners from Joe Latruglio.
Dude, you go watch the outtakes for that, too. They could not get through that line, the rub-a-dub-dub.
Right.
They were dying at that.
There's a scene that my roommate and I, freshman year of college, we always, I don't know, it got me every fucking time.
I think I know which
it's,
one.
No, if you do, I'd be shocked. It's when Christopher Plus character feeds like the troll kids. It's like
he treats
and they thank him, but they thank him in like the native
different language.
Tongue.
Yeah,
and they go Jarkule. So, and then the kid, the other one that gets is when the kid, he's in the tree and he's like, let the battle begin, and he just does like a bird noise.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Mine was gonna be, and I think it's so my favorite stupid scene from that movie. It's just, I think, a throwaway. It was supposed to be, but like, they drop off the kids to go LARPing, and Paul Rudd asks him, he's like, yeah, so pick us up around 8, and the kid guy's like, fuck you, Miss Daisy. And just drives away. It's such a throwaway line, but it's so fucking funny. It kills me every time.
The Minotaur, Sean William Scott, maybe never used better. It's just a really
quiet Louis C.K. role. Yeah.
Look, that's right.
Look at me stealing TV.
That's my favorite. Any ball guy on there. Look at me. Steve Garvey, stealing TVs.
Your mom let me keep the suit after I fucked her. I gotta watch that movie tonight, dude. Funny.
That TV one is that's a funny movie.
All right, Clemmer.
So this is the pick that will make me guaranteed to lose this draft. I'm sure I'll finish in fourth. That's fine. I'm already okay with that. I've done enough of these where I always finish last anyway. So I'm gonna pick the movies I like. and it's Munich.
Wow.
So this is a sensational movie about revenge. It's Spielberg's best movie of the century. Catch Me If You Can is there, but this is right there with it for me. Incredible Eric Bana performance. Daniel Craig's in this very good. But it just shows you, like, I just find revenge and then the concept of what I like about this movie so much is it shows you the aftermath of revenge and how, like, yes, you get revenge, but it never quite fulfills you and you're left with the pain of the deeds you've done. And that sort of emotional toll is just chilling to watch. And even though they did it for the right reasons, the revenge is justified. Is it worth the inner struggle? And that stuff to me, I'm all in for. I think Munich is a brilliant film. It's severely underrated.
I agree, underappreciated. And that there's the one scene I was like, where like they go up to the female assassin's boat or whatever, and yes, hit him with that, like, yep, whatever that gun is. And she just sits there and just like kind of falls like ragdolls. I've never seen a scene like that before. And it was really cool.
No, Spielberg really kind of embraced the violence and embraced some of the nastiness that, you know, we don't really see him embrace before. Remember, even like Schindler's List is black and white. Like, you could tell there's some sort of disconnect there. But Munich, he's like, I got to tell the story. It's a very brutal story, and it's a very sad story. But if you haven't seen it, check it out. Munich's very good, and now I've finished in fourth place in the draft.
For my pick, I took a gamble not taking this before Iron Man, but I'm happy it paid off. In Bruges. In Bruges is one of my favorite movies of this entire era by far. One of my favorite comedies. Stephen McDonough's best movie, in my opinion, by a decent chunk, which is, again, splitting hairs, but...
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Steve McDonough?
Martin McDonough. Whatever, dude.
Oh, Steve.
Whatever, dude. His brother did it. In Bruges, I think, is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. And I can rewatch it any day of the week. I think Colin Farrell is back and forth. It's one of, if that is a role we were talking about with like Robert or what's his name? Basically like any guy who's like, you think they're down. Colin Farrell was that space for me at this point, like early in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this guy kind of sucks. Like, he's like a big face, but he's doing Alexander and he's doing like SWAT and he's doing like all this shit. And then you see him in a movie like In Bruges, you're like, oh, he can really act. Like, he's actually very good and very funny. All these has a range, basically. Brendan Gleeson, very, very funny in this. And Ralph Fiennes
is
unreal
fantastic
in this movie. He's so good.
You're a fucking inanimate object.
Yeah, you're an inanimate fucking object. And like that whole scene and the ending of that movie, too, was also really, really good. Where he like accidentally shoots the little person and thinks it's a kid. He's like, we gotta live by our principles. And he just kills himself. Fucking really, really good movie. And one of my favorites. And if that's one where if it loses me votes on the graphic, I don't care.
I don't think it will either,
but I don't think it's as widely seen as some of the other shit that's on so far. But In Bruges, I fucking love, and there's no way I was letting that escape.
I didn't hear a lot of arguments when I said I was going to finish in last. You guys all seemed like, yeah, it's
Munich was a bit of a reach
there. You're fucked, Connor.
You could have gotten Munich.
You definitely could have gotten Munich.
I have other bizarre movies on here as well, so I'm sure I only have so much space.
Jeff, your pick.
There are a lot of comedies that I could pick, but this I think is pretty easy. I would have probably taken this even if I had Super, and that's Tropic Thunder.
Oh, I love Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder is it gets better every time I watch it.
McConaughey's so fucking
funny. Yeah, every role is so fucking funny, which is crazy that they do that because they're all so over the top and they all blend. Great Jay Baruch. Absolutely. Yep. He's just there. He is there to play the straightest white rice role, just to keep it – to give you a little sense of, like, relatability. Yeah. Like, but it is such a funny movie.
Tom Cruise, man.
Great Ben Stiller role, written by Justin Theroux, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a funny little weird thing. But, yeah, great McConaughey. The opening is amazing. The fake trailers is one of the most genius things ever done.
The Portnoys or the Fatties?
Yeah.
The guy's name is Jeff Portnoy.
The Fatties. Yeah. Booty Sweat. The commercial before the trailers. I mean, honestly, just alone, the trailers for the movie make that funnier than almost anything that came out in the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it comes to
question.
This would have been the top comedy of the decade if it came out in 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like not even close. I have a question. Like, have we gotten enough from Ben Stiller? Did Ben Stiller did he live up to what he should have been?
I think he, because like he didn't just stick with acting, like, because I was directed and written a bunch of shit too.
Right, I mean, he directed this.
Yeah, exactly. He directed this. I mean, he'd been doing other stuff where I think he's more experimental. He got out of like the comedy space a little bit. He's doing like Walter Mitty and all that shit,
which I loved.
Yeah, we're Walter Mitty guys.
I love Walter Mitty.
I've liked Walter Mitty more and more as time's gone on.
It's a fantastic movie. I just wish he did more. I guess I wish he did less Meet the Fockers Part 9 and more directing interesting movies and great comedies. He's also a great comedic director.
You could argue
Severance.
Severance.
Yeah. Have you watched Severance?
I have not watched Severance yet.
That was my number one show of last year.
Very good Curb performance.
Yeah.
He's great in Curb. Very funny in Original Arrested Development, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but like this is like small. I want to see him direct Tony more Wonders. Comedies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like this is like this is such a funny movie. He directed this. He's great in it.
Him in Arrested Development is so fun. Have you ever Arrested Development, guys?
Yeah, I saw when it came out.
When so he's Tony Wonder,
I see.
I
haven't seen like 20 years.
He always pulls things out of his body. Yeah. Remember? Yeah. Do you not? You gotta
I don't remember
it.
Tony Wonder. Yeah,
he pulls like. He always pretended to hurt himself in the scene. He'd be like, but he'd find like food. He's like, you want a Hanukkah cookie, man? Yeah, he's like, even like good tricks. Fuck. Yeah, Tropic Thunder for me is my.
That's another super rewatchable one, too. It's a fuck. I love Tropic Thunder. Gucci of Vector.
I'm looking at like what he's got coming up because he's got 7 projects listed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to look at that later. Damn. All right. That was what I was going to take. That's interesting. But I will pivot again. Comedy. There are better movies out there probably, but there's just, I got to go with these comedies that I love and I've rewatched a million times. Like, I'm going to go Hot Rod.
Damn. I thought I'd get that late.
No, I love Hot Rod.
Yeah, I would have taken it next.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of those things where it came out and if you got it, you got it. And if you got it, you fucking loved it because it was so different from like anything else you'd seen. Just so stupid, and it just made you like laugh like you'd never laughed before. Like, oh my god, the fucking
I'm
AM
Steve, and I like to party.
Yeah, that one. I was having a dream last night, and I was all these elves kidnapped me and took me to the forest. And like, he just pivots to, hey, what's up?
Yeah,
dude, Danny McBride in that movie is fucking perfect.
That's one of my favorite performances of his. I drink green tea every goddamn day. Oh, beating the fuck out of that dude.
God. What's his face?
Chris Parnell.
Really, when he comes up with the AM tattoo. FM.
He's like, you're wondering how he's peeing on both.
I like to imagine
there's a little bit of semen caught in his urethra.
From the night before. Yeah.
I've never seen Hot Rod.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd like it. It's funny, man.
It's so stupid.
The falling scene where he's doing like the dance.
Oh, my God. Dude.
It's a movie again where the more you watch, the more you like it. Pop Star is the same exact way.
Yeah.
It's just so different. Like I had to have it.
Dude, the whole character of Kevin is very funny. The Yorma Tacome role.
Yeah.
So good.
Yorma, just such a weird looking little kid.
Yeah.
He looks like a little homeschooled boy.
I said, you look shitty, Denise. Good night. Oh, man. So good.
Hey, go grab a couple dong bags.
Yeah. Will Arnett, too. Yeah. I forgot how good he is in that.
It's an iconic Will Arnett, like, gonna get side some, character performance.
Going to go pick up some vitamin water. So I'm going to get some dong bags while I'm out.
Get some dong bags and knock boots later.
Yeah. Sully?
Sully!
Yeah. No fucking way. Second pick.
Oh man, it's so hard not to keep picking these comedies, but I'm gonna go back to it. I'm gonna take Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which is like one of my favorite rom-coms of all time.
The best rom-com ever.
So fucking good, man. I think it's my top rated if I had to guess.
My number one is
the problem with Forgetting Sarah Marshall being rom-com is so hard to define.
Yeah.
Because
that's true.
When I think rom-com, I think like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Like and that's maybe disrespectful to the genre, but Forgetting Sarah Marshall is so through and through a comedy. That I almost don't, but I guess it is.
It has all the beats though, right?
Yeah, it does. You're right. But that's just, rom-com is so hard to define.
But I think what elevates this is it's so funny, it's so smart, and it does hit all those beats, and yet you're still entertained.
Yeah, it's
very formulaic Sarah movie, Marshall is. But it's fantastic.
Fuck you, Billy Baldwin. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just so much in there. I just love it.
Great side characters, Paul Rudd. And it's just so funny. Yeah.
I still wish he had actually put out the Dracula musical.
Yeah.
Like, because like the premise does sound fucking hilarious. Like,
you sound like you're from London, man.
Oh, yeah. That's probably like his last. Actually, Get Into the Greek was fine. But yeah, no. what's his face?
Snow is the character.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand.
He's like a right wing.
He's good in that. Yeah,
he's so, like a right wing commenter or something now. It's weird.
Interesting career pivot.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, no, I love that movie. Yeah, it's like an immediate feel good.
Super rewatchable too.
Very rewatchable.
You find new stuff. I feel like every time you watch, right?
Yeah.
Jeff, your pick.
It's tough. I'm gonna run on comedies. I could probably get a bunch of the other movies. So I'll go comedy too. There's not much left in terms of like the top tier. Man, I'll go Step Brothers.
Fuck.
Fucking love Step Brothers. Adam Scott is like one of my favorite comedy characters of all time in that movie. The dinner scene I think is one of the funniest written things of the decade.
What's this guy's problem?
Yeah, it's so fucking.
Adam Scott is so goddamn good, man.
Are bonita fish
not
big?
Just the cube? What is it? Not just the cubes.
Yeah, the cubes.
Chris Daughtry, Jeff Probst, Super Chef Bobby Flay. Yes.
Guilty. Guilty as charged on the stories.
The stories. Yeah, it's we talking about it, and he actually didn't have much. It wasn't like a complex written like Adam McKay scene, but it's so funny how it plays out because so much of that movie is played so straight but so ridiculous. Step Brothers is fucking awesome. It's I love Adam McKay humor, and I think his recent stuff has just kind of fallen off a hair. I think some of it's still pretty good. Like I don't even love Whatchamacallit. What's that stupid fucking movie from
Don't Look
year?
Up.
Yeah.
I mean that was not but a good movie.
I don't despise it.
No, I don't despise it either, but when we talk about like Step Brothers.
And I think there's a lot of funny.
Don't Look Up. That's more than a hair.
And there's a lot of funny in the Lakers thing, too. I think there's a lot of good in the Lakers stuff. I wish it was way better. But, like, Big Short, I think.
Big Short's fantastic.
Masterpiece. But
that still, came out a long time ago.
That's true. That is, like, almost, like, 8 years almost. Yeah. But Step Brothers is so well done because it has so much that's like grounded in reality, but then played up to the absurd. The dream sequence, the time to say goodbye at the end with like the montage, the common thread with all these movies is whether it's like the Steve Garvey stealing TVs thing or Horatio Sands like only playing 80s Joel, that's what I do feel like a lot of comedies. And again, there's a couple that did it in the early 2010s. Like I think 21 Jump Street's a rare exception from the 2010s they rely on so many like big dumb moments from your characters, where there are a lot of funny moments in Step Brothers and Superbad, but it's the little things. It's the attention to detail to have funny moments in every scene. And even when it's not calling for you to make that, like comedies nowadays that are bad are like the wrong Missy. The wrong Missy, is that what it is?
Yeah.
The young Missy?
The wrong Missy. Missy.
Great example.
Hellfire.
Like the wrong Missy. Like it's almost as if they want to put on the screen the laugh sign. They're instructing you to like, this is the moment you laugh. Where these late 2000s comedies were so subtle. They were quick lines. They never stopped to make you laugh. Like they kept going.
They also weren't afraid. I mean, we haven't discussed it, but 2012, you have the Me Too movement, you have cancel culture, and there's some great things that came of it. Obviously, there's some positives, but there's also a negative side to it, and it made people fearful to make comedies. And it's just a fact.
Yeah, people don't want to make comedies anymore.
No.
It's very true.
Because they don't want to offend
someone. The funnier stuff is probably like on streaming and
YouTube or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that also, there's a few things to play into. I think it's harder to do like relevant comedy. Like,
yeah.
Because of YouTube, because of TikTok, like the jokes are just already there and everything moves so fast where if you try to make if you write a comedy today, movie comes out 18 months from now, those jokes, those references, anything you do are likely outdated, severely outdated.
I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is Superbad would never come out today because people would be afraid of offending somebody.
Superbad definitely wouldn't.
I mean, almost all of these movies have a moment or two where it's like, well,
Let's go to his pure comedies in the last, like even just.
They're not good.
It's like going to go down heights. To the Cheesecake Factory.
Death of Stalin, which is like all the way at the top. Like, and then there's.
But even then, would you consider that a pure comedy?
It's like a black or dark comedy, but like, I don't know. Like
I have nothing. We have nothing rated above a 90 in the last 5 years.
No, it's been terrible. I mean, look at Judd Apatow's career path.
The Good Boss, Springs is really good. Booksmart.
Booksmart is really good too, but that's also not in the level of any of the comedies.
And it also fits the mold of being a safer comedy, and it's being okay. And like Apatow went from making these comedies, and then he went and did Girls.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey, good on him for like having the intelligence to see where the things were going.
But I would even like, it's the more serious stuff. It's the dramedies that I think are funnier now than just the pure comedies, like the Big Sick.
Big Sick, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, taking an appetite, like, I personally love King of Staten Island, for example. Like, I prefer the dramedy, Lady Bird.
Yeah.
The dramedies are the funnier things now. Pure comedies the pure comedies now are the fucking Wrong Missy.
Yeah.
Hubie Halloween, which Hubie Halloween was not as bad as The Wrong Missy. I don't even, that's unfair to even put
that
this
was a
in the
bad comp.
The Wrong Missy is one of the biggest piles of dog shit ever made.
Really bad.
Embarrassing. No offense to Lauren Lapkus, but that movie is
Hellfire. Fucking idea that was. So Step Brothers off the board. Since most of the comedies, there's a big run. That was just four in a row. That got five in a row, technically, that went off the board. I'll get another one that's in my top grouping. Very similar to No Country for Old Men. There Will Be Blood. They filmed at the same time, had shooting problems because they were filming so close to each other. There Will Be Blood, one of Daniel Day-Lewis's best roles, maybe if not the number one. Like Paul Dano, kind of his coming out party as like a legit actor. And just one of my favorite movies to watch. Super, super just like, I don't know how to say it, but like, or how to really kind of define it. But it's almost like very, very enthralling. Like that entire storyline. Like once you start, it's like you feel on edge. Like you feel like you need to see what's going to happen. And just, I love everything about that story. Another one of my favorites. And man, can't do a sequel, but I'd like to see a sequel. Dude,
how Paul Dano, do you know the story behind Paul Dano getting that role? So like 2 weeks before they were supposed to start like principal filming, the actor who had his role, it was like a dual role because you're playing.
Yeah, twins or whatever.
But it wasn't set up that way. Dana was just supposed to play a brother, like the brother that disappears at the first one. That actor, though, who was supposed to play the second one, the main character, he retired from acting. He just completely stopped. He's like, I'm not doing it anymore. And so they were scrambling. They're like, either we're going to have to push this, find someone new. But Paul Thomas Anderson was like, no, we're going to rewrite this. And Paul Dano is going to be a twin now. And this is how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Dano just comes in and he just knocks it out of the park. Just so good. So good. That bowling alley scene.
Yep. So goddamn
good. It got parodied a lot because of the drink your milkshake thing, but it really is a fucking masterclass.
Right, top three performance of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd put Christoph Waltz up there. Glorious.
The only reason I don't like it more, it's more of a character study and I'm just more of a story guy. And that's why it doesn't hit as hard for me. But it's a brilliant film.
Kel O'Neill was supposed to originally play him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood, Christoph Waltz, Inglourious, and then probably like Sandler Click for best 3 points of the decade.
I do legitimately love Sandler and Click.
I couldn't get a rise out of Clemmer. I couldn't do that without laughing.
I mean, it's a big three. That truly is the three best.
Click was such a... I hate that movie for making me cry.
Yeah,
like, fuck you. Like, it's supposed to be a fun little family comedy. I'm sitting there next to my mom just crying. You know how embarrassing that was?
Fucking watch
it. You didn't like the movie that much, huh?
It was good. It actually is like a pretty good movie, but it's not what was sold. Like, you go in, it's in the Sandler era everything he did was comedy. And so you're expecting like something lighthearted, and the twist at the end just kind of fucking wrecks you. It's like, holy
is
shit.
Kate Beckinsale in that?
I don't even remember her being in that. Mm-hmm. Was she the wife?
The wife, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. Walking. Of course. Yeah. Of course, Adam Sandler has
a hot wife.
Wife.
Bed Bath & Beyond guy.
Clemmer, back to back. Your last two.
My last two? Oh, no. Okay, so I'll take a comedy first, because there still are a bunch of good comedies out there.
Yeah, it's
and,
shocking.
I'm going to go with The Hangover. It's just obviously just brilliant and funny. The Bradley Cooper character is great. I'm not a big fan of the sequel. In fact, I've never seen the third one. I've only seen the second one, so it's a carbon copy. I was kind of disappointed.
Still funny though.
Yeah,
I'll defend that. The Hangover Part 2 is still funny.
Not as funny as the first, but yeah,
no, but it's
funny.
Still like
a tough bar.
The third, yeah.
I honestly can't remember the sequels at all. I remember seeing them, but I just don't remember anything from
the
them.
The second is still funny. I'm not defending it as a good, as a great or good, like, really good movie.
They go to Thailand?
Like the carbon copy thing was obviously intentional.
Yeah.
Like, they did it as a, like, part of the humor, and I think that was funny, but it's, the first was, I mean, the first seeing it, the seeing the first in the theater,
oh my God,
was a very memorable movie going.
It was. And then the credit sequence with the photographs, I mean, in the theaters, people were gasping, like, it was so brilliant.
People love, there's a little, so I've always hated the revisionist history on Hangover. I think people get a little, they're a little too unfair about it.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Like, oh, it wasn't as fun. It was fucking, and when that shit came out.
It was a moment.
It's still funny. I watched it like a year ago. It's still really funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm kind of just leaning on movies I like here. It's The Pursuit of Happyness.
Wow.
So,
wow. Dude, you're a dead last
year. Oh, yeah, I know. The second I said Munich, I knew what my fate
so
was.
Many on the board.
I want to do a sixth round. I still have a ton. I'm volleying for a sixth round here.
Yeah, maybe a sixth round. You can draft a good movie.
I'm struggling.
I am drafting good movies, motherfucker. This is Pursuit of Happiness. Okay, I'll take some shots here, I know. And I'm definitely a sucker for sentimentality, whether it be Field of Dreams, It's a Wonderful Life. Man, I know you cried a click, very emotional film. I bawl at this. Mm. And the scene when he's in the subway bathroom, the train bathroom, and they're trying to get in, and he's just like, someone's running to the bathroom, he's like holding the door, and he's got his cradle with his son. It's like, man, you just root for this guy. I think it's a great Will Smith performance. I know it might be, someone might say it's corny, but you know what? It's based on a true story, so it happens, so it's not that corny. It's really good. I like it a lot, and
way
I'll defend
it. Than 7 pounds.
What's that?
Way better than 7 pounds.
Way better than 7 pounds.
Not as good as the one with Helen Mirren, though.
Fucking Collateral. Wait, is that
Collateral Beauty?
Yeah, Collateral
I've
Beauty.
I've not seen that.
Fucking amazing.
What's
pile of shit. Yeah, what sucks so much
what's
ass.
The Margot Robbie one, that was really bad.
Focus.
Yeah. Do you guys hate this movie?
I still think the first hour of it is good. Like
it wouldn't even come close to this for me.
I like it. I think it's good.
There's a bunch on here that like I'm gonna. Not
no, pick. I have a. That's why I said I want to do a sixth round because I still have a bunch here as well.
I believe if I remember right, I saw Pursuit of Happiness for the first time in high school. Like I think I was a freshman in high school when I saw it for the first time, and I was like, oh, I could watch this.
I'm a sucker for that. As I said, I know the father son stuff. I'm also a sucker for. Mm. So it just kind of it hit my zone. I'm sure I'll get savage for it, and that's just fine.
Okay, for my last pick. I'll go with a movie that, like, we've talked about a lot of comedies on here that are, like, influential, like, define the era or whatever. I think this movie is one that is so culturally influential, like, it blows the other ones out of the water in that sort of realm, but it's Borat. I mean, you want to talk about any comedy movie that's more culturally relevant than Borat, I'd be tough to find. Like, in that era of 2000, 2010, if you didn't watch Borat, you were the biggest fucking loser on earth. Because everyone was quoting Borat in middle school, in high school, in college, and, like, even beyond. Like, people still quoting Borat.
I was in the workplace by then, and people were quoting in offices.
Every fucking day, people are talking about this movie. They're joking about it. Like, it is so culturally, like, a landmark in comedy and just movies in general. That I think like it needs to be. I'm so shocked I got it this low, but like it is. I'm so pumped. I'm able to get this with my fifth pick because I think it's just such an insanely huge and monumental movie. Just again from American cultural perspective.
Very nice.
Yeah,
see, dude, you didn't know that in high school. I was
you loser.
Year to come
dork.
Out.
2008, I think. 2006.
Yeah, I thought it was even 2006. Yeah, I thought it was even earlier.
It was right when I was young in high school.
Middle school for me.
If you didn't know fucking Borat jokes, you were a loser.
The biggest loser on earth.
Yeah, it was like one of my first years in a real office. But people even in the office, like middle aged people, were like quoting it and stuff. Like it just had this huge effect. And then I don't know if I've ever heard a theater laugh so much,
dude. Oh my!
Like
God.
I saw the theaters. I mean, people were like couldn't. Like, breathe. They were laughing so hard at Borat. I watched it recently. I don't think it ages particularly well. It does seem... I don't know if it works now as well as it did when it came out, for me at least.
Definitely a tougher age than the rest of these comedies, but just like pure, I think.
But when you see it for the first time, you're crying your laughing heart.
My mom had to bring me and my friends to the theater to watch it because we were like, I don't even know, like 13, 12 or whatever. But like, it was bad. But yeah, Borat off the board. I fucking love that. What's up, Vanilla Face? Like everybody just doing like million different lines from that movie every day. Jeff, Wizard Sleeve.
I'm gonna leave a lot on the board here for me. Like I almost picked Up in the Air. I'm obsessed with Up in the Air.
Very
love that movie. But I'll pick The Wrestler.
Yeah, great movie.
The Wrestler, that's probably top five performance of the decade, too, I think. Mickey Rourke's so good. Talk about a cry movie, emotional movie, one of the best sports movies ever made. Wrestler is fucking amazing. That year, I think that was 08 as well. But those like 2-3 years is when I became like a movie person.
Okay.
Wrestler is up there with movies. Like if I had like 10 movies that I saw, 08 is probably the year that like I became a movie.
And how old were you then?
I was a 08, 09. I was a 2008. I was 27. I was a junior in high school, I think, when this movie came out.
Okay, yeah. So that's just like me. Like Pulp Fiction came out as a sophomore in high school, and that's when I became a movie guy. I think that age is when it gets you.
Where you start to appreciate great writing and acting. And so if I said like 10 movies that's not my 10 favorite movies of all time, but like that kind of changed me as like a moviegoer, Wrestler would be up there. There's a bunch I left that I hate to leave because my favorite movie of that year I didn't even pick.
My
best that year, but I'm trying to build a good team here.
We'll do the honorable mentions after Gooch gets his pick in.
Trying to get back to the list, but
dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
This one, I would have taken it 1-1 if I didn't know that you guys wouldn't pick it. Gonna go Walk Hard. It's one of my four favorite movies of all time.
Nice.
I fucking love Walk Hard.
That's a movie that's aged very well for me. I like it much more every time I watch it.
Yeah, like it's not only the comedy, which I think just works perfectly, like playing off the musical biopics. Like they really do just nail the formula, like in terms of parodying it. The music is fucking out of this world fantastic. Like it should have been nominated, I think. Like it's really good original music. John C. Reilly is one of the more versatile actors I think we have.
Yes.
Like he is.
You don't want any part of this shit.
I mean, yeah, so many great running gags in that movie. His number of kids continues to grow. To the different drugs he's trying.
John C. Reilly might be the most versatile actor ever.
He's so good, dude.
I mean, everything. Who does slapstick comedies and then can do these dramas?
Yeah, and do an insane drama. And like you go through his filmography, it's insane. It's like schizophrenic.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's schizophrenic.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny though. That's another one I can watch it any day of the week.
God. What's her face? Margot Martindale.
Yeah.
Perfect as his mom. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right. So here are our teams. Clemmer has The Dark Knight, Role Models, Munich, The Hangover, Pursuit of Happiness. I have No Country for Old Men, Iron Man, In Bruges, There Will Be Blood and Borat. Jeff has The Departed, Casino Royale, Tropic Thunder, Step Brothers, and The Wrestler. Gooch has Superbad, Inglourious Basterds, Hot Rod, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and Walk Hard.
I'm so fucked.
yeah, I mean, like, I feel like we all have our own honorable mentions. I think my biggest would be like Hot Fuzz be up there for me. Hot Fuzz, I think, is hysterical.
That was my next off.
But that's one that loses me in a vote off in a bracket. History of Violence, Children of Men makes me cry every time I watch
Children of Men was on mine.
History of Violence, so good. Eastern Promises, I think we talked about that before.
History of Violence is fantastic.
So good, one of my favorites. And then a bunch of Korean movies too, like Mother's on there.
Mother, for sure. A
couple other ones too.
Top one I didn't pick was Slumdog Millionaire. Why don't you Slumdog Millionaire?
That movie kind of stinks.
Why?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. It doesn't work for me.
Jai-ho.
What doesn't work? The great music?
No, it's just, it's
a nice story.
I feel it's too, I don't say cliche, because it is unique, it's too predictable or too.
It's definitely fucking cheesy.
There's something corny about it. And I know I picked Pursuit of Happiness. And I know you're
going to be what the fuck? What the fuck is this?
There's some.
Pursuit of Happiness, you're going to call Slumdog corny?
Yeah.
It's corny, I know.
I'm saying the same about Pursuit of Happiness. I acknowledge it's corny. Pursuit of Happiness just hits. A lot of the father-son stuff. That's always a hit.
I would argue outside of Danny Boyle and Dev Patel, I might be the biggest Slumdog Millionaire fan in the world.
Yeah.
I love Slumdog Millionaire. Love it.
General but some of the other ones,
Wrestler. Frost Nixon. Love Frost Nixon.
Very good movie.
The Prestige.
Very good. Again, Prestige. I'm a big Watergate, like Nixon era. Like, I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Frost Nixon, I think, is also a very funny movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the funnier in a drama lines is when Sam Rockwell's character. He's talking to Oliver Platt's character when he's going to meet Nixon. He goes, "You going to shake his hand?" "I'm not going to shake his hand." He goes, "After what this criminal's done," and he like goes a whole rant, and he goes, "All right, how you doing?" He shakes his hand. He's like, "Wow." He goes, "That must have been devastating." He's like, "Oh, fuck you." It's a really good, one there. Up in the Air, like I mentioned, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Tough not to pick too. That. I love that movie. Do you not?
I don't like cartoons. I don't like cartoons.
It's not a cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Whatever. It's not a cartoon. It is a cartoon. Have some stop.
Respect the fucking medium.
It was better than Isle of Dogs. Stop that motion. Trash.
Respect the medium.
Yeah, it's better than Isle of Dogs. Zodiac.
I love you.
Yeah, man. I'm actually very shocked that that. Yeah.
I love you, man. There's a comedy that we did not pick, which I Love You Man is very real, very cool. I Love You Man is up there, I think, with – I think I Love You Man is disrespected, that it doesn't get enough love because it's very quotable. What
was that, 09?
Jobin. Yeah, like there's a lot of very funny things from –
You think there was just so many great comedies in that, like, 04 to 07?
We haven't even mentioned a few.
Do you think we were just, like, exhausted by – like
maybe it was too much funny.
I actually think it was, because the same thing happened to Role Models, where it comes out in like 2010.
Bad spot,
and it just
came out in sometime 2009.
There's a good Barry Jenkins movie that many people haven't seen called Medicine of Melancholy, which just got a Criterion release.
Oh wow,
it's his first movie.
Rob Hubel in I Love You Man with like these. He's like, you see that you're pissing on my face.
that legitimately is one of if I did a top 10 favorite 2000s comedy lines. Mm-hmm. Rob Hubbell's line of did you – I'm trying to quote it right. He's like, you see that bus bench ad? You know who did that? M. Night Shyamalan, director of the film.
Director of the Village.
But everything with him, like him talking about like all his ads and everything, I Love You Man is definitely – you're right. It gets lost in the shuffle. There are so many good one-liners in that movie.
Yep.
Fuck, man.
Even him just like
Rob's
even
Rob's my best friend.
Them playing golf.
Oh, and Hank Mardukas.
Mardukas is I Love You Man is, I think, disrespected. We just disrespected. Nobody picked it.
Yeah, true.
I think when you break down like the little jokes in that, like Hank Mardukas is one of the funniest running gags. That's the other thing too. There just aren't funny running gags in movies these days. Like they're
they're in comedies these days.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm saying, like, but even in them, there's not that attention to detail that you could appreciate that you could in those. I Love You Man is, wait, which one? Fuck, which movie has the Tom Skerritt reference?
Oh yeah, fuck that! It was one of those period movies.
It's with what's his face from
Ted.
Is it Ted? Oh, Ted. That's Ted. Yeah. Ted was funny too, though.
Ted was very
funny. Very funny.
Ted's very funny. Yeah, Tom, my buddy, my good friend Tom Skerritt.
Tom Skerritt, dude, that Joel McHale character in general was very funny. I hope you get Lou Gehrig's disease. That's very good.
Yeah.
Didn't say 40-year-old virgin.
40-year-old virgin, that's up there too.
Cinderella Man, Michael Clayton, which I love.
I do like Michael Clayton.
Apocalypto, I love
Good Night and Good Luck, I like.
Gone Baby Gone.
Michael Clayton fascinates me because when you hear other screenwriters talk about it, they talk about it like it's the Holy Grail. Like they act like that Michael Clayton script is like one of the best scripts ever.
It's a fantastic script.
Watchmen up there. I like Watchmen
director cut.
Observe and Report. Observe and Report.
I don't lift Observe and Report up there. We forgot one.
Wedding Crashers?
Sunshine I'd have up there.
Wedding Crashers didn't get that. People will be mad about that, I think.
No, what's not Observing Report? What's the really...
Paul Blart?
There's another one that,
Put this way?
The sister movie to that?
Yeah, the sister...
But that's Paul Blart, no.
Yeah, Paul Blart and Observing Report came out like months apart.
No, I think there's a...
Another mall movie?
Observing Report's fantastic. I just love the mood swings in it. It's so dark. It's so
they drop him off with Danny McBride's character is also very funny.
Am I thinking of The Watch?
Maybe it is Observing Report though. Did we do an Observing Report like rewatch?
We did, I believe. I remember we did something
you?
With it.
I would have.
Yeah. Wait. We did just mention one that I. Fuck. What movie? Why don't you just set a movie that I just wanted to talk about for a second?
Sunshine. I doubt it.
No,
I love Sunshine.
Fuck, Clemmer, you just said
Rock and Roller. Foot Fist Way.
Foot Fist Way. Foot Fist Way is another one that is very. Foot Fist Way is not for everyone either. It's a much subtler movie along the lines like a Hot Rod. And like kind of dumb, but the Fist way. So we used to rent movies from Blockbuster. We'd go rent like dumb comedies. Sometimes they'd be funny, sometimes they wouldn't be. Sometimes they'd be dog shit. Foot Fist Way, when he kicks the old lady, when that guy kicks the old lady, is probably the hardest I've ever laughed watching a movie. So it's sudden. So shocking.
Yeah, so sudden.
I like choked. I was laughing so hard.
That's funny. I saw that movie years ago. I need to rewatch it because those guys are great. Vice Principals, like the mm-hmm. show on HBO, same guys. That
dude,
show
you gotta
is
watch,
so good.
Righteous Gemstones.
I know. I still haven't
so
seen.
Yeah,
it.
Gemstones is a so funny. Gemstones is a must watch.
You didn't get married by a legacy character, like who? Like I don't know, Mickey. Fuck Mickey.
Gemstones is very good.
Here are some of my misses. I'm looking through like the first Star Trek. I legitimately.
Oh, yeah.
That almost made my list. That's a very good movie.
That's one where I don't know how it got lost to the annals of time, but nobody talks about that movie. It's fucking fantastic.
I didn't mind the third one, second one.
The Justin Lin one?
Yeah.
Justin Lin did the third one, right?
The most recent one was actually probably the best since the first one, I think. Because the one with
Idris Elba, right?
Yeah.
That's the third one?
Right.
I think that's the fourth one.
I thought there were three. Are there four of them?
I liked all three. I'm with Klimmer.
Are there three or four?
I thought there were three.
There's three, right? The more you say it, the more I think there is another one. The Darkness was a massive letdown because it was Cumberbatch. It was Khan. Right. Remember, it was the fake advertising to make you think it wasn't Khan.
Yeah, it is three. Star Trek Beyond
was fun. They had a good time with it. Yeah.
Into Darkness, not as much.
Other ones, Zombieland.
Almost made my list. Fantastic movie.
V for Vendetta. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I love that movie.
Like, that's a movie I watched in high school, and then I don't think I ever watched it.
I fucking love that movie.
Inside Man would be up there for me. Begins.
I actually love Batman Begins. I think it's much closer to The Dark Knight than people are willing to say.
People sleep on Begins. It's a very good movie.
Assassination of Jesse James.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful movie.
Yeah. Back when Dominic could make good movies.
Yep. Ip Man. Oh, yeah. It Man, one of the great martial arts movies.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
I do love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. I like that a lot. That's a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, this is just maybe it's like because we were at that age where you just become very receptive to the movies and music you're watching. But I really do think this is just a very strong era for movies.
Like, also, it's bad movies. Meet the Spartans, Disaster Movie, Epic Movie, Transylvania. Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector.
Delta Farce.
Delta Farce, baby.
Son of the Mask.
Wicker Man.
Yeah, Delta Farce. White Out.
The Love Guru.
Kate Beckinsale. Terrible.
Was The Happening? The Happening is during this stretch. One of the worst we've ever seen in the theater.
Happening is one of the worst we've ever seen in my
life. The Dragon Ball Evolution with Justin Chatwin. Oh,
Garfield,
so
The Tale of Two Kitties, superhero movie. This is the parody era.
Yeah. Superhero movie.
Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj.
Rise of Taj.
Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo.
Let's see. What else we got?
Wait until you say a bad one that I actually like.
Sorority Row. Let's Go to Prison. I remember that one.
There's a bad fucking
American
movies.
Pie Beta House.
Bewitched with Will Ferrell.
Oh, dude.
Oh, no.
That movie had hype, too. I remember that movie.
Nicole
like
Kidman, right?
Yeah.
Wild Hogs is probably around here too. Although I don't.
Bangkok Dangerous with Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Very bad.
Oh, Meet Dave. How did we miss that?
Norbit. I bet you like Norbit.
Oh, it's all I can.
I bet you got a guilty pleasure.
Was Norbit come out the same time as Dreamgirls? So like Eddie Murphy.
A great role and a shit role.
Yeah, right. I want to say it might have been Norbit ad during the Oscars or something like that.
Stan Helsing.
Oh, The Grudge 2. The Halloween's from Rob Zombie.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. That was a bad one.
Yeah, those weren't really
Babylon
good.
Babylon AD. Though. That was a big letdown for me. I thought that was going to be great.
G-Force. Gerbils movie.
Yeah.
I missed Woodcock. That one.
Man, there's some bad. Yeah, there's some bad fucking movies.
I love you, Beth Cooper. I hate that movie.
Step Up 2 came out. Pretty good.
It really was the best and worst of Wahlberg, though, because you had The Departed, but then you also had The Happening
at the same
time. Happening
is so bad.
Oh, Elektra, that stunk. The Hitman movie, that also was so bad. Holy shit. The Number 23, that was one where I was like, how can they make a movie that bad with Jim Carrey? Whew, that was a rough one. But anyway, that's our draft. We'll be back next week with a new Monday with a new topic. Yeah, Tuesday with a new topic.
God damn. Fast is finally here.
We got to record on Sunday,
Fast
too.
X. A first of three.
The trivia tournament.
Yeah, with Fast X. I can't wait for you guys to watch it. I'm so excited to see what you think of it. Thanks, Clement, for joining in. We'll be back on Tuesday.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
You're a bigger guy like us. Have you ever bought a shirt that technically fits, but it doesn't, like, actually fit? That's why this is my favorite brand of all f***ing time. One Bone. I'm in love with everything that I put on today. In fact, I would say I've never loved a brand more than One Bone. Trust me, you guys are going to romanticize getting dressed in the morning. That's what One Bone does. Go to onebone.com and upgrade to a fit that is actually built for you. Use code BARSTOOL for 20% off to see the difference firsthand. After one wear, you'll understand why standard fits don't make the cut.